in Lubbock.
Wow.
Because Texas Tech Monday night will be playing for the national championship.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Tortillas and Takes podcast. You are on once again with your boy, I'll be sure. And it is time, another series, another time to talk Texas Tech baseball with our baseball expert himself, that is David Hughes. What's up, David?
Hey, how's it going? Doing pretty good.
You're doing much better now after a sweep over Kansas State, right? Earlier in the week was a little stressful. Earlier in the week was a little stressful. So, I mean, let's hop right into it. So Texas Tech went out to Arizona, two losses against Grand Canyon, like back to back, wasn't pretty. Lost the first game 4-9, lost the second game, close one, but still lost it 7-8. What is your analysis of those first two games?
Yeah, I mean, we knew going in that Grand Canyon wasn't going to be a pushover type, you know, midweek series. We knew, especially being on the road, you just, you know, they're a different time zone. You know, weird stuff happens over, you know, just playing on the road. Obviously, we're disappointed to not at least get one. I thought we'd at least, you know, snag one there. I do think we didn't play as bad as our 0-2 record indicates. But the biggest issue, and this is, I mean, this is the theme for really both games, was we just couldn't get the hit to, you know, I think I counted on the Tuesday game. We had six innings in a row of a guy on third base with less than two outs, and we could not get one of those guys in. It was like, what is going on? It was one of the most frustrating games I can remember in recent memory, just regarding Tech baseball and just, you know, kind of doing the simple things, even like, you know, a deep fly out, you know, that'd be cool. We couldn't even do that. We were popping out, striking out, double plays, all that sort of stuff. Wednesday, a lot of it was the same, but at least we did get a sacrifice fly on one of those less than three outs or two outs scenarios. And it was frustrating weekend all the way, or midweek, not weekend, but frustrating two game series for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that Tuesday game, we equaled them in hits, right? So the hits were even, but it's just Grand Canyon capitalized where Tech didn't. One of the things that was really great about the Texas series was that it was the opposite, right? The Texas series, Texas got guys on base but just could not score. But for Tech, every time we got a guy on base, we brought him home, right? And a lot of that was due to us getting the home runs that we needed to get. And I feel like in this Grand Canyon series, it was a lot of the opposite. We are a home run hitting team. We talked about it last week. And in this game, only two home runs in this game is just not going to get it done.
Yep, and they're both solo shots too from the same guy from East of Merle. So that was
technically three. Really technically, Jace did get a ninth inning. I like to call him A-Rod shots, because Alex Rodriguez, when he played for the Yankees, he would only homer whenever it was like a blowout either way. Like, just pad his stats. So I call him A-Rod homers. That early on in that Tuesday game, right, Grand Canyon scores three runs in the first inning. They're up 4-2 pretty early. And Tech really never got a rhythm going. And then when the eighth inning hit, and they hit three runs in the eighth inning, game's kind of over. That second game, I'm with you. And we talked about it last week, right? You predicted Grand Canyon winning the first game, right? You predicted it actually almost on the nose, 9-5. But we both agreed that Wednesday was the day that we have a better shot at it. For the longest time in the Wednesday game, it looked even more like Tech was getting whooped until the ninth inning. That ninth inning rally was so close, yet not close enough.
Almost so close. One more run.
isn't that annoying, right? Like, rally caps on, ready to go. Just before we get off of Grand Canyon, what was to you the most frustrating thing in general?
I mean, by far the most frustrating thing was we just could not get the, you know, the productive outs anywhere for the whole weekend. Like, you know, I'm not even exaggerating about six innings in a row of a guy on third base with, you know, zero or one outs, and we literally could not get one of those in for six innings in a row.
Yeah.
Really, both days were like that too. It was like we just could not hit the ball to the outfield and score the run home. We couldn't, you know, hit the ball the right side of the infield to bring in the run that way too. It's just no base hits, runners in scoring position. We just could not do anything right in that department.
Well, I also, you know, I think our pitching struggled. Starting pitch, I mean, Chase Hampton in the first game got hit up for he gave up three earned runs before getting pulled out, and the bullpen did a lot better in that Tuesday game, but then the Wednesday game, you use three of your good bullpen arms. The Wednesday game, that bullpen did not help. Colin Clark and with the exception of Mason Molina, every bullpen arm gave up at least a run. Colin Clark, Austin Becker, and Kyle Robinson all gave up a run. And it sucks when you score five in the ninth. If you have one less run there, you're good to go. And Andrew Devine, right? And he's, I mean, this is only his second start of the year, but for him, you know, he didn't really do you any favors. You only had him out three innings. And so it's just, I pitching to me was a big problem in this game against Grand Canyon. Those bats came, you know, hot and heavy. And to be fair, it's a tough environment. It's a tough environment to play in down in the desert in Phoenix, but just wasn't able to get it done. So that solemn two games brought us back home, back where we want to be, the friendly confines of the law. And it was very friendly because we got to play, I don't know if they're the worst, but they're probably bottom two team in Kansas State Wildcats. And Texas Tech, it was nothing but happy, happy, joy, joy. Three straight wins, including the walk-off win today. Let's start off by talking about that first game on Friday. Texas Tech wins 6-3. What did you think about that game?
Yeah, I mean, that first game, that was a close game all the way until, you know, the last couple innings. And then we finally started to get a couple runs there. I thought for a little bit we'd end up dropping that game a little bit. That was just one of those kind of weird games where – We couldn't hit. It seemed like a little bit of a layover from the Grand Canyon series a little bit. We just, you know, a lot of the same issues. We had guys in position to score runs. We just couldn't get them in. And then we eventually, you know, started to pile them up a little bit at the end, a little bit. And then we, you know, eventually won the game.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big, I think, monkey off your back game. At that point, you've lost three games in a row. Right. And actually, I think that equals the longest losing streak you've had, or that was the longest losing streak you've had all season. Right. The two losses to Grand Canyon and then the loss you had last week to Kansas to end the series. But you really had to get that monkey off your back. You really had to get some type of win. And as you like, you talked about six innings or five innings go by, you've only scored one run. Luckily, you're playing Kansas State, so it doesn't matter. But you only scored one run. And then they hop out to an early, they hop out to a lead. It's 3-1 K-State. And you're like, oh no, not again. But that sixth inning rally, I think, made everybody feel a lot better.
Yep. And I'll capitalize with the Owen Washburn bases clearing double. That was the hit that, you know, we've needed for, you know, really since Saturday, the blowout game against Kansas. I mean, we finally got a big hit with runners in scoring position and obviously brought them all in. That kind of, you know, changed the whole game right there.
Yeah, and you rewarded Andrew Morris. Andrew Morris had pitched a pretty good game up to that point. Like I said, he did give up the three runs in the sixth, but had pitched a pretty good game. And now, if you're Andrew, you're like, man, I'm out of here. I had a five inning, shutout. Like, I was doing so well, and yeah, sure, I gave him a couple runs, but guys, come on now. And you rewarded him, right? Like, you're doing good by your pitcher. He's still undefeated, and you were able to get those runs to win the game. Tech does close it out 6-3, and then you come back Saturday. And the confines got a lot friendlier. That four run sixth expanded on Saturday, where Texas Tech goes out and whoops the Wildcats like they stole something. A 14-0 blowout. First two innings, it's 8-0, just like that. And basically, it's good times. Good times. What do you think about that game?
Yeah. So that game, you said it right there. We got off to a quick lead, and we just never gave it up. I mean, Kansas State had, what, two or three hits the entire game. Brandon Birdsall, let's talk about him. He is good. This is the ace on the staff here is, you know, Brandon Birdsall. He's the superstar pitcher that we have. I bet you he's loving all this run support, because this Saturday game was the one from last week versus Kansas where Tech scored 30 runs, right? I'm betting he's liking all this run support going on for him. But
can we carry Brandon these Birdsall, runs over? Let's carry some of these runs over.
You know? Save a little bit of them.
You know, it's like, but I do think that when you have a pitcher like Brandon Birdsall, you just have confidence. You're like, you know what? Yeah. I can go into the game free. I don't have to worry about like, oh man, they're not going up to the plate tight or like pressing or anything like that. It's loose. You know that you are going to get seven, maybe eight quality innings from your starter. And Brandon Birdsall went out there and had a full shutout. Like he killed it. And so that's
everyone out. Yep.
It's when you have a guy like that on the mound, it's lovely. It's lovely. You don't have to, you can just really relax, and you relax into that Sunday matchup against Kansas State. Now, Kansas State in that Sunday game, right, same mindset as Kansas. Remember, we had the same similar situation against Kansas, two blowouts. I mean, hell, Kansas, we beat them 28-2. Lord Jesus. But Kansas, like every other team, comes in and says, I do not want to get swept. And K-State said the same thing. I do not want to get swept. And that was the best Kansas State team we had seen all week come out to an early 3-0 lead. And it's once again, you're saying, man, it's just really tough to sweep a team, especially in the Big 12.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of those games too, where Tech has not been very good on Sunday, right? It's kind of been frustrating. We've been, you know, winning our two ace games, like, you know, Andrew Morris and Brandon Bursell, the Friday, Saturday games, you know, pretty much the whole season long. But the Sunday game is where we would slip up quite a few times. It was just one of those things where it's like, guys, come on, let's get a Sunday going to where we can, you know, actually win a game here. And it was looking not that way for a while there until, you know, the whole big ninth inning that happened with the, you know, ended with the Jace Young, you know, monstrous, you know, walk-off home run. That was a gigantic home run. It's good to get that.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's a lot because and Tadlock likes to use the midweek game, like every coach or manager, to find things, right? So like you said, we know who our 1 and 2 are. We know Morris and Birdsell, those are our guys. We don't know who our number 3 pitcher is. You got to find that guy before you get into the postseason. Like, you have to find your number 3 pitcher. We still don't know that. And you come into this game, Chase Hampton gets to start once again. And he's kind of the guy that you can kind of tell Tadlock wants to be the number 3, right?
Yeah.
But he's not really taking it. And
he's young, this game, right?
He's young. And in this game, he gives up that 3 runs pretty early on. And he gets yanked. Mason Molina, another guy that's in the running for it, comes on and he gives up another run. But though I will say Mason Molina, I thought actually pitched what I had one of his better outings here. But then you basically spend 5 pitchers. And I don't have a problem with that. You know, you can't take them home. It's a Sunday game. You're going to get a couple days of rest. Might as well use them. But luckily, that bat support that we didn't get in the Kansas game last Sunday came through at the very end, like you said, scoring 2 runs in the 7th and then 3 runs in the 9th, including that walk off by your best play, right? Like, that's what you expect.
Exciting stuff. Yeah, and on that at bat too, you could tell Jace was locked in too. Like, he had hammered like 3 balls that were just foul. One, he had just like the previous pitch, I believe he hit it over the right field wall. It just was foul. You can kind of just tell that Jace was locked in there. And it's one of those situations where it's like, you know, obviously it sounds crazy to walk him with a guy on first base and nobody out and, you know, 1 run to tie the game. And
but you can tell
Jace was on your level there.
Yeah,
they should have walked him.
Like, if you're Kansas State, Jace Young is an All-American. Like, I'm not being hyperbolic when I say that. Like, Jace Young is a first round type of guy, maybe even top 10 pick type of guy, all American, like Big 12 player of the year candidate, right? Like, this is not the time to be, if you're Kansas State, this is not the time to be self-righteous. This is not time to be proud. Walk him, go to somebody else. And they didn't walk him. They have, and mind you, they get the out, they win the game, right? But they didn't walk him. Mm-hmm. They give up the homer, game over. And that's just a mistake that, I tell you this, more teams will learn that mistake and they're not going to. I think this may be the last opportunity for Jace like that. Because if I'm a manager,
Kansas any other said team, that last weekend too.
It's, I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. I get the whole, we welcome the challenge. Nah, bro, I want the win.
Absolutely.
So Jace Young walks us off on Sunday. He can now, you know, hey, if I'm Tadlock, I'm giving him a vacation. I'm making sure that he vacations over at vacationtreeline.com. Tadlock is friend of the pod, obviously. And if Tadlock is going to hook Jace up like this, he's going to mention that, hey, you know what? I'm a friend of the pod. I'm a friend of Tortillas and Takes. So I need you to give me that 25% discount. And Vacation Tree Line is going to give it to him. If they book a broken, especially when they book a broken bow cabin rental, they get a 25% discount with Vacation Tree Line, and they get no additional fees when they book it. So make sure to go to vacationtreeline.com for all your tree line rentals and management. Be like Tim Tadlock. He would do it, so you should too. So as we do that, we had a lot of conference games, David, right? We had Kansas State, we had Texas. Now we get to play Oklahoma, but it's but it's not a conference game. It's
yep, that's right.
Why is baseball so weird?
It's weird. And it's one of those things too, where it's kind of a fascinating deal because it's like, you know, you're kind of scouting because this game, you play Oklahoma three more times later in the year, right? And it's one of those things where it's like, okay, what are you guys doing? Are you scouting? I mean, obviously you do that, but it's one of those things where it's just kind of strange. It's like, the game really doesn't mean a whole lot other than it's just another, you know, game and a non-conference because this game right here will not count towards the conference standings, but it's Oklahoma who is obviously another Big 12, at least for now, member, right? And it's cool because they usually do these games at neutral sites, which right now, obviously this one's going to be played in Amarillo at the Sod Poodles. I think it's
The Sod Poodles, baby.
Sod Poodles. There you go.
You don't know nothing about the Amarillo Sod Poodles or Amarillo Sod Poodles. Yeah, man. Best name in minor league baseball. One, some of the best jerseys in minor league baseball. Shout out to the Sod Poodles.
Absolutely.
This is weird though, only because it's weird for many reasons, but like, what do you do in this situation? Cause you still want to win because if you don't, I mean, it's still going to affect both Texas Tech and Oklahoma are trying to be in the postseason. I mean, Tech will be in the postseason. Oklahoma is trying to be in the postseason. You still want to win this game for like national relevant type thing. Right. But at the same time, like you said, like you kind of also want to treat it like a preseason because you don't want to show all your hands. You still got a 3-game series that's actually important later on. This is a really weird game. It's a really weird game.
Yeah, it's strange. And I think and just a little bit like about them is like they're good because like, you know, these are the games that help grow the game of baseball, college baseball, because it's college baseball. And then, you know, I mentioned the neutral site thing, which is cool because, you know, the people from Amarillo, they don't get to see, you know, probably a college baseball game too often. And obviously they have all the other tournaments throughout the country, but it's just kind of cool little deal how that works out. But I guess we'll see how it goes.
No love for West Texas A&M down in Canyon. They don't.
Oh yeah. I mean, I guess they are about,
you don't think they're going to watch. Yeah. You know, not even they're like down the street. You know, you don't think they're going to watch W Tamu. but no, I do think this is one thing that, Kirby Hokut has done a really good job of is making Texas Tech. And Texas Tech has always been the school for West Texas, the team for West Texas, but really emphasizing that, right? Like whenever, when I was in school, everything was in Lubbock. Everything was in Lubbock. Like that's Lubbock. That was the school for West Texas and the team for West Texas. If you want to watch Texas Tech, you got to come out to Lubbock. If you're in Abilene, wherever, it doesn't matter. You got to drive to Lubbock. But we've seen more basketball games being played out elsewhere, baseball games now in Amarillo, football, spring games out in Abilene, right? Out in Permian, like start like really saying, if we're going to be the school of West Texas, we got to really be the school of West Texas. And I think it's been advantageous, especially in baseball, right? For baseball, if you are a top recruit in West Texas, you're going to Texas Tech. It's virtually become that synonymous. Now, hell, even in East New Mexico, if we were this good, a decade ago, maybe Alex Bregman comes to Texas Tech instead of LSU. Like that's, you know what I mean? Like, so but I do think like a game like this is important. And if you're Oklahoma, you're also trying to say like, hey, we want to steal some of those recruits too, right? That Norman ain't too far from Amarillo. Let's see what we can do too. So this should be a fun, exciting game. I know we have some listeners out in Amarillo, you know, why drive 2 hours down to Lubbock when you can get a team? You can support the Red Raiders right in your own backyard. So make sure to go out to that game. I don't really have much analysis for it because I have no idea what Tim Tadlock is going to do in this game. Zero. Absolutely none. I would probably play all my freshmen just to see what happens. Right? Like, just see what happens.
This is usually like the Chase Hampton game. I know we did play them last year, and that was a high-scoring game. I believe we scored, like, I don't know, 16 runs or something like that game, and it was balls flying out of Amarillo that day. So hopefully maybe some of that will be the same for Tech anyways.
Yeah. Balls going so high that they could hear the gunshots out in West Texas.
That's right.
That's right. But this weekend we go, and I for the while I've always believed that our biggest rival in baseball is this team coming up that we play this weekend, the TCU Horned Frogs. Now, with Texas kind of having a mini resurgence in baseball lately, last year and this year, and then just because they're Texas, right? Like that's I don't know if TCU was still our biggest rival, but I personally still hate them very much so. And the Texas Tech TCU rivalry has been won because for the past 8 years at least, Texas Tech and TCU, the winner of between those two win the conference, right? Like that's how it's been for the past 8 years is either Texas Tech or TCU is winning the conference. Now, like I said, Texas has recently kind of had a resurgence, but it's still those two. TCU is still ranked. They're still, I think they were 21st last time we checked. They did lose the last series against Texas, but they're still ranked. They're back to being, I think last 2 years, they kind of had a dip, but they're back to being the TCU Horned Frogs that we all love and hate. We all know and hate, I should say. Nobody loves them, not even themselves. So tell me a little bit about the TCU Horned Frogs.
Yeah, I mean, TCU is obviously a really good team. They've lost two straight Big 12 series because they lost to West Virginia at home 2 weekends ago. So this is a series TCU honestly needs to have if they want any sort of, you know, Big 12 relevance. I'm really kind of bullish talking the, I guess the title race for the most part, because TCU will, you know, definitely make the tournament in some capacity. They're kind of scuffling a little bit right now. So this is something that they need to have. And you know, Tech just had a good, you know, sweep, but we obviously need to keep momentum going a little bit. So it'll be a fun series, that's for sure.
So I'm looking at their schedule, right? I'm going to ask you this, David, are they boosted? And I say this, the reason I say this is as I look at their schedule, right? I see, okay, they lost the series to Kentucky. Sure, they beat Baylor. Sure, they swept Kansas State, but they lost the series to Kentucky. They lost to Abilene Christian, lost to UTSA, lost the series to West Virginia, lost the series to Texas. They're about to go to Dallas to play Dallas Baptist, and I can't tell you who's going to win that one, right? So, like, is TCU a little boosted? Like, are they a little overrated?
They probably are. Honestly, they probably won't even be ranked after this, like when the rankings come back out, because they did lose. Was that Abilene Christian this week or was that last week?
That was 2 weekends ago. That was right before the West Virginia series. They
okay, beat I was turned.
Yeah, they beat UT Arlington, but I mean, so.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they obviously did lose, and they're already kind of hanging on in the first place. What, number 24 right now or so? Yeah, I mean, I know there's a million different polls, but I think on the ones, the TV show, they're 24th. So they might not even be ranked, but I think, you know, they're obviously not as good as they were, because they were what, preseason top 10 team or, you know, somewhere, you know, top 15, somewhere around there. I know they're, you know, pretty highly ranked right there. But yeah, they definitely are not as good as everyone thought.
Well, so it's, yeah, I think this is, it would be a really good series. This would be a road series for Tech. And so it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. They're going to have a purple out on Saturday, whatever the hell that means. So
there are two fans there.
Yeah. No, man, we are going to talk mess on this. I was going to say 10 fans. You didn't beat me to it. But it's, they're going to have a purple out on Saturday. And so there's going to be a little bit momentum. TCU is going to want to win this series, like you said, not just because of that, but because it's Tech. They're going to want to beat Tech. They're going to want to beat right now the arguably the best team in the conference, right? And so it's going to be interesting to see what they do in this series, a series that starts on Thursday. So it's Thursday. It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, a little bit closer in the week. So interesting to see what happens here. Most likely, like we've talked about, we're going to have Morris and Birdsell for those first two games. TCU is going to do the purple out against Birdsell. Good luck with that. I mean, what do you think happens in this series?
Oh boy, this is going to be, I mean, it's obviously a tough road game compared to, you know, Kansas or whatever. I do think we'll actually have probably a decent amount of Tech fans there. I mean, TCU actually, I know we like to talk, we like to talk mess on them in football and all that sort of stuff about their fan support, but they actually do support their baseball team. And obviously it's easier because it's smaller stadium, stuff like that. Right. But this is going to be an interesting series here. Cause it's like, this is one of those where I'm going back and forth on whether we win the series or if they win the series. I mean, neither team's going to sweep anyone. It's not going to be one of those. I think it's clearly, you know, it's going to be a rubber match type game. Obviously we hope it doesn't come to that because our best two pitchers are Friday and Saturday, and our Sunday is the one we, you know, struggle on a little bit. I'm actually going to say TC wins the series. I'll say they win 2-3.
Ooh, okay. Hey, that is the honest, true analysis there from David Hughes. But I will say this. TCU and talking about some of the players that TCU has on their team. Tommy Sacco is, you can't really start talking about TCU without talking about Tommy Sacco, who is right now leading the team in average, leading the team in OPS and leading the team in slugging, right? He's doing a really good job for them over there. And this is, I mean, this is his last year, his senior year. He's given Tech problems in the past as well. So I expect another one, another big one from him. Braden Taylor is another good infielder for them, and see what he can do. So I think those are, when it comes to hitting, those are some of the guys that we need to look out for. But when we just talked about some of their starters and some of the guys that are some of the guys that we are going to have going out against them, I think one thing that's going to be interesting. So Riley Cornello, we're going to get to see Riley Cornello, one of these guys, a young sophomore for TCU right now with a whip of 0.99, ERA of 3.09. There's a good chance he's probably the first pitcher against Morris. I would love to actually see him against Birdsell, because that is going to be, well, let me rephrase. I don't want to watch that game because nobody will score, but that is going to be a nice little pitcher's duel there if they are going up against each other. And if I'm TCU, that's probably the guy that I put up against Birdsell. But another another couple guys that I'm curious to see, Brett Walker is another one of their pitchers. He's been beat up though. Brett Walker has an ERA close to 5, but he's had 8 starts himself. Cam Brown, another guy that kind of got beaten up. I mean, TCU is interesting to where they have one ace pitcher, a couple of meh starters, but a really strong bullpen. I mean, when it comes to their bullpen, Luke Savage is a savage. He has done a great job. Marcelo Perez done a great job. Cohen Fraser's done a great job. So, like, their bullpen, is strong. But games where Riley Cornello is not pitching is where you can really beat up that starter for the first 3 innings. So you already gave your prediction, David, as far as that. It's that TCU is actually going to win the series. But in order for Tech to do so, who needs to be the guy to step up in this series to really push us over the edge?
I mean, I think it's going to be the bullpen. I mean, the bullpen is what's sort of been, I don't want to say our Achilles heel a little bit, but it kind of has been for the most part. I think if Morris and Birdsell can get, you can get 6 out of them and you have, a couple run lead, and it's just, it comes down to the bullpen to, finish it off. I think it's going to be really the whole entire bullpen, whether it be Parrish, Trenton Parrish. I think Trenton Parrish might have, okay, it's kind of hard to say he has the best arm on the entire Tech team because you have Birdsell there, but Parrish is special.
Out of the bullpen,
freshman.
Yeah, I was about to say out of the bullpen, he might be it. He's a beast.
He's good.
He's a beast.
He's a fiery guy too. I mean, I love that. I know a lot of people don't. They kind of get all up in arms about that, but
I don't give a damn.
He's a closer. That's what they do, right? They're all fired up and they strike them out, and then there you go. It's like you can sit down and regroup for tomorrow type of thing.
I will say Tech fans are funny because we're all about act like you've been there and show some class until it comes to a rival, right? Texas, TCU. Oh no, never mind. F them. Horns down. We don't care about the whatever. What do they say?
Frogs down. TCU. I don't know what they do.
Yeah, come on now. TCU, it's funny because, we say wreck them, hook them, gig them. TCU doesn't even get a thing. they just say go Frogs. Like, they're not, y'all ain't part of us. You're not part of the rest of the state. Come on now.
That's a good point. I never even thought of that before. That's a good point.
Even Stephen F. Austin has Axum, but nobody, you're not part of us. All right. We got to remind them. We got to remind them once again. I think for me, the guy that I really want to show out and have a pretty, pretty big game here is, I feel like it's a cop-out answer. I do. So I'm not going to say Jace Young. I'm not going to say Kurt Wilson. I'm going to say Cole Stillwell. And I feel like if you pick one of the big three, it's kind of a cop-out answer, right? Because it's like, yeah, sure. One of your best players plays like he usually does. But I think of Cole Stillwell, we've had the Kurt Wilson series. We've had the Jace Young series. And Cole Stillwell has been very consistent. But I don't know if we've had a Cole Stillwell series where he just takes over, where he's just the best player on the field. And this is the series for Cole. This is a series where I think he comes out. And I agree with you that I think it's going to be a very close series. I think we're going to see another game winner. We're going to see another game winner. I think my boy Cole is going to be the one to knock it off. And it's going to be the third game of the series after – I'm going to go ahead and say – I'm going to be a little specific like you were last year. I'm not going to give it a score. But I'm going to go ahead and say that – Tech loses game one, right? On Thirsty Thursday. That's what TCU is doing.
Yep.
Again, I don't know what that means. We win game two because Brandon Birdsell is not losing. It's not happening. And a Cole Stillwell walk-off for game three. How beautiful would that be? A high-scoring game three.
Yeah.
I'll put that out there. High-scoring game three. But Cole Stillwell walk-off for game three over TCU's vaunted bullpen. It'd be nice. I would go ahead, grab my – I would, you know, go ahead and get my Fields of Gold Chardonnay, pop it open, and down the whole thing. That's how excited I'd be. It'd be a great time for sure. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So David, you got your tortilla toss t-shirt from Home Field Apparel?
I do have it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Is that what you're wearing right now?
No. Oh yeah. No, I do have a tech shirt on. It's not a tortilla one though.
Yeah. No, the tortilla. Listen, I had to bring it up. Tortilla toss shirt is my favorite. It's my favorite shirt in Home Field Apparel. I saw you wearing the gray shirt. Right. And we're on Zoom right now. So it's only like from the neck up, but I saw you wearing the tortilla toss shirt or the gray shirt. I was like, hold on. Cause that's that's the best shirt on Home Field Apparel. So I personally love Home Field Apparel stuff. Make sure to mention Takes 12 to get your 15% off your first order. Takes 12. That wasn't even an official ad. I just had to put that in there. As far as our ad partners know, that is an official ad. So you heard it here. David Hughes predicting a TCU win because he's a traitor. And we should all boo him and spam his account and tell him how wrong he is. Come Saturday, whenever my boy Cole Stillwell hits that game winner and Texas Tech wins the series. Anything else you want to say to the people, David?
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. I just obviously hope we can, keep the momentum going a little bit and, hopefully we can win the series. I mean, a sweep would be even better on the road. How would that be? That'd be nice.
Let me tell you something. If we sweep TCU, on one hand, if we sweep TCU, there's probably a good chance they are a little overrated. But if we sweep TCU, watch out Tennessee and Arkansas. We are going to be creeping up the rankings that much more as far as, getting that national respect. Texas Tech has never been the number one team in the nation. And a sweep against TCU would get us pretty close.
Tennessee's going to be hard to beat because those guys are what, 31-1 right now. They're beating everybody's butt right now. Tennessee is it's surprising. I mean, we obviously have a good buddy that's a Tennessee fan, and they're legit.
but he talks so much that I don't want them to be. I want the worst. I want the worst. I have no reason to hate Tennessee, right? But I want the worst.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, as far as for me, baseball season has hit the ground running. It is pretty fun. This weekend series against Kansas State was a lot of fun. I think next weekend series at TCU is going to be a lot of fun. Like David said, Red Raiders, anytime we play TCU, Red Raiders usually show up and support the team. I expect the same. It is a little tougher in baseball because, like you said, it is a smaller stadium. Usually we don't have – it's though we have Red Raider fans in there, it's not usually a takeover like it is for football and basketball. But with us being a top five team in the nation, I still expect Red Raider Nation to show out because we have done an incredible job of that this year. So I expect it even more here at TCU in Fort Worth, where we actually have a bigger alumni base in DFW than they do anyway. So let's make it happen.
How about that?
Yeah. So there we go. So that is it. That is our show. And we're going to sign us off here. So for David Hughes, this is Albie Shore, and you have been listening to the Tortillas and Takes podcast. And as always, stay wrecked, people.